Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, guys, and welcome to episode 9, season 2 of the Weekly Freestyle with myself, Dom Dean, and my co-host, Alex Sutton. We're recording slightly earlier than normal this week because Alex is heading over the border up to Scotland with the missus for a weekend away. So we're doing a Friday record before next Wednesday's drop. So unless something crazy happens in the world over the weekend, then we should be all up to date with everything. But looking forward to a weekend away.
Yeah, it should be nice. I think there's a lot of rain in Edinburgh at the moment. So I was just saying to you earlier, when the plane lands, we might be landing on water, but hopefully that'll be all right. But we had a bit of a bombshell because we thought the Christmas markets were going to be there this weekend, but I think they've delayed it by a week. So the whole appeal of going to Edinburgh is basically gone now.
Oh, no. Sounds like you should just sack it off and come to Bath with the boys.
Yeah, maybe. Well, there'll be a message mid-flight on the plane that says, we're no longer heading up north. It'll be a much shorter flight.
Still a lovely city. Very nice.
Heathrow to Bristol.
I meant Edinburgh, but yeah. No, Heathrow to Bristol flight.
Edinburgh is a lovely city. Have you swum up there before?
Many times. Yeah, it's one of our annual, one thing we're going to get into actually in this episode is training blocks. But every year, we race there at least once a year, if not twice. Brilliant pool. Yeah. I love it. Really great city as well.
Are you heading up there this year or is there...
Yeah, we'll be going in March. The first weekend of March is the Edinburgh International.
I think I should cool off this weekend in Edinburgh this week and then just delay it till then.
Reschedule. I'm sure the Christmas markets will still be on, won't
they? they're there for such a long time. So yeah, they'll probably be all right.
Yeah, no doubt. No, that's good stuff, mate. And one thing we wanted to start off with actually was chatting about the episode we recorded just a few days ago on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's come around quick.
It has come around quick, but we recorded on Tuesday, dropped on Wednesday, and I'd had a tough session on Monday night, and I went into a bit of depth. If you haven't listened to it, go ahead and scroll back and click on that episode. And
it's a unique one.
It is a bit different. It's not all sunshine and rainbows and fun and chatting about how great it has been an athlete and all the great stuff that comes from training. It was a real kind of bad day at the office, I think is the best way to put it. And we've both had quite a few responses. So, I don't know what you've heard from people about the episode.
Yeah, I was asking people about it. And I think, if we're really truthful about it, I think your way you were obviously in that session and maybe for the record as well was like a different headspace to where you usually are. And I went out for dinner last night with a couple of family and obviously asking them, what did you think? And they actually said that was actually so refreshing. In terms of actually you referring to, I guess, the swimming as your job, which it is. And I know, obviously, there are definitely perks with it and like, such great stuff and all that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, it is almost your 9-to-5. So imagine if I made a podcast about like my work in the week, it's not always going to be, the fun stuff. And also Steve from Pool Boy, shout out to him and all the work he does. He's got in touch with us a couple of times and we'd be keen to do something at some point. But he actually wrote an article on it. And I think there was a couple of articles on it. If I just grab it up, because you've had a read of that, didn't you?
I did have a read. No, you're right. It was just going back to that episode. It's a good thing we did record it on the Tuesday and not the Monday, because we were scheduled to record on the Monday and I said I was feeling a bit under the weather, but the reason was my head was just double egg after that session. It was too fresh and I think I would have been a bit more scathing in my remarks about Dave and the session and all my job and all that stuff. So luckily we let
maybe even this podcast
maybe you, to be honest, pal, maybe you would have gone in the firing line. Everything. I was not happy on Monday night. I was not in a good way.
That poor microphone in front of you,
your dishwasher, that toast in the background, everything's getting ripped into.
Oh,
so no, luckily we did shift it for the Tuesday. But I forget sometimes. So when I think about my job, it's literally 8 till 6 every day, and we get a break for lunch. We get a slightly longer lunch break than most people. You know, might get 2 hours instead of like one or something. But we are
a nap break.
You're working. You're conscious of it. Eight till six, pretty much. We dive in at 8. We get out the pool at 6 in the evening. And I remember I was explaining to my friend once. I was like, whenever we come in on a Monday morning, you know, we do, it's something called social kick, where you, in part of the session, you might just do like an easy 100-meter swim.
It's like catch up for a coffee. We have that at the city council.
Yeah, well, you'll be doing a bit of social kick on Monday morning and just be saying, oh, what do you get up to on the weekend? You know, it is clocking on. It is a professional environment, and it is like an office. And when I explain that to people, they always think it's a bit weird, but actually, that's how it is. You know, that's how we view it. You know, you have you work 6 days a week. It's a job, and it stays with you. And sometimes you take it home, and you know, sometimes you kind of leave it at the door, and it can have good days and bad days. But yeah, that was very much not a good day. That was a bad day, and we were able to talk about it, and we were able to discuss it. And I think, like you said, it gave a bit of a refreshing, you know, view and window into an athlete's world where it's not always perfect. You know, you're not robots, and it's not like clocking on and feeling great. You know, some sessions I really, really cannot be asked to train. Yeah. I don't want to dive in the pool. I'm not up for it. They're the real, real, you know, especially as getting into November, December, January, February time, it's dark and cold.
Yeah, that is.
You know,
yeah, I think everyone, I'm realizing that as well at the moment.
Like everyone, yeah. You know, you're not on a Sunday night. You know, you get that Sunday night dread.
Yeah.
And it's like 8 in the evening
just,
on a Sunday.
Just after Strictly Come Dancing results has finished. No. You know, that's the highlight of the week. You know, you had to say goodbye to one of your favourite couples. But as soon as that's gone, what have you got left for the weekend?
As soon as the credits start rolling, dread starts.
As soon as Tess and Claudia say goodbye and keep dancing. No. Oh, that's the worst feeling.
The worst, isn't it? Absolutely the worst. But, you know, it's just like, and you realize you've got a whole working week ahead of you, a tough, tough working week, you know, and you just got to kind of get through, like I always try and get through to the end of Monday, because Tuesday we have recovery, and I try and get through to Wednesday afternoon when we have a bit of a break. And then it's like, try and get through to Friday morning when we've got recovery. And then by that point, you've just got 2 swims left. And, you know, so it's a tough block, and it's a tough block we're in at the moment. And we're going to chat about it a little bit in this episode about training cycles. But no, we did have an article written about the episode, which is quite cool.
Yeah, no, so cool. I just want to touch on the article because it was a really cool one. And we said to Steve, you know, keep up the good work. And I think it's a good reminder to us that the great thing about this space is that it is so relaxed. Obviously, we're so relaxed. But, you know, when we are speaking in front of the microphone, you know, things are going to get potentially written about, especially if it has a swimming spin on it. I was actually really impressed that he did actually manage to write down the whole set that you described because when you're reading it out, I think I got you to double check it, but I would have had no idea what like what the set actually was. So you must have really slowed that to slow motion to really get that out. But there are some good quotes in here. So yeah, shout out to your training partner as well. How is he?
Is this a Japanese swimmer, Katsu Matsumoto? Good. And I'm really glad they included his quote because it was a great quote. And I know, you know what? I went back last night. We had another threshold effect set and it was tough. It was really tough. It included a stand-up 200 free, 2 stand-up 100s, and then 4 stand-up 50s at the end of each round.
Did you get that,
Steve? You know what? Yeah, did you get that? I can repeat that again. Actually, I'll give you the whole set actually while you're here. 3 150s aerobic. 4 100s threshold, stand up 200. And then there's 3 150s, 4 1s, 2 stand-up 100s off 230. And then 3 150s, 4 1s thresh, 4 50s off 115 stand up. So it was a brutal set. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to try and redeem myself, have a better session than I did on the Monday. I felt fresh. I like recovered really well. I ate really well. I went in with a good mindset and I really wanted to try and redeem how I executed Monday night. And I felt a lot better than I did on the Monday. And I went in and I actually did a great stand-up 200, beat him on the 200, you know, which I was really happy with. And then we were head-to-head on I did IM on the 100, so I didn't rate him, but we were head-to-head on the 50s and we really pushed each other on and it was a great, great session. And, you know, we had a good chat about it after and, you know, congratulated each other. So yeah, it was brilliant. And that's what it's all about. And that's what Dave highlighted this morning. He said, you know, you got to be able to come back when you don't have a good one and don't write off the week, you know. Just park it and move on.
It's a long week, isn't it? But yeah, it's good for you guys to you and your training pal to be on good terms again. Did you still give him a lift back?
Maybe get the bus. No, I gave him a lift back, yeah, and I picked him up in about an hour as well.
No, I think that just shows it, doesn't it, that when you take things in an isolated situation, they can seem one way, but yeah, once you just take a little bit of perspective, get back into it, and then you're not throwing your floats and your fins against the wall, and it's all good.
Exactly, and it's all good. It's
love
all
to
good.
See it. Yeah, I've actually taken just a couple of weeks off. Well, no, not a couple of weeks, a couple of days off, just feeling a little bit under the weather. And as you were saying, with this kind of the time of year, I think it is spoken about a lot. And I think in general, people really, I guess, can struggle to get out, or like, even if it's just when you get up and it's so dark, and when you're leaving the office, it's so dark. Mm. And yeah, it's like pushing yourself to get out there and, I guess, do a little bit of exercise, or continue to pursue your hobbies for like that 2 or 3 months of the year when it's cold. But yeah, I just took a couple of days off myself, so hopefully it will do me some good. And actually, there's no harm in sort of, I guess, being easy on yourself, and you've got to think about the long term, which is maybe where we can slide quite nicely into this, the idea of sort of these macro and micro cycles that we're looking to base today's episode on.
Yeah, so macro and micro cycles. So the macro cycle, so these are two words that my coach Dave has coined, and they're how I've lived the last 4 years of my life, basically, you know, living by these macro and micro cycles, where you have the macro cycle. I don't have one to hand, unfortunately. I've got a micro cycle.
And, it sounds like something you'd have in your pencil case.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you should do, but I pin them on my wall sometimes. So I've got this here. So it says,
You've got a nice bit of paper in front of you.
Got a lovely bit of paper.
Why didn't you scrunkle the paper by the microphone?
Just so people know I'm not lying. So it's got a week's plan on it, and it says week one of three. So this is the 3 weeks heading into my world short course. Bath Performance Center, 22-23 season, and it's got the Fukuoka 2023 in the top right corner as the ultimate aim for this season. Macro cycle number one, micro cycle number 10, weekly emphasis, rest and competition phase. And then it says some keywords at the bottom that we live our taper by. So nice. The macro cycles are the big cycles that dictate the entire season, normally three of them. September to Christmas, with a winter meet, normally short course, Christmas to the trials in April, and then April to the major competition in summer. They're the three macro cycles. And we'll get given them, and we see how within each macro cycle, there are micro cycles where you'll have 3 weeks normally of work with a specific goal and focus, followed by a recovery week, and then backed up by another 3 weeks of work with a different focus recovery week. You have your tapers on there. You have where your landing program, what percentage of maximal exertion it is. So, for example, in an aerobic block, 3 week aerobic block, you'll have 100% in the gym. You know, you're going as hard as you can in the gym. Yeah. Whereas when we go into an anaerobic block, we need to be slightly fresher in the water, less fatigued in the gym because we're doing such high quality work. So you'll have maybe 75-80% in the gym, and that'll line up. So you may have two or three, maybe even four, normally two or three micro cycles within each macro cycle. And then within each micro cycle, there are individual week plans, such as the one I've got here. So
it's like a three-layered thing then, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, even lower, I'd say four layers, because on each day I'll see. So for example, on next Tuesday, I'm in the water 8 till 10. I know we've got a race pace session, followed by a gym session. I've then got a soft tissue session at 2:15, pre-pool, which will be in shoulder capacity, followed by a short course recovery session in the evening. So that's a day.
Yeah.
That makes up. So I know exactly what I've got into 15-minute increments every single day, where my whole week lines up. That makes up a week. That week will be one part of what is normally a three-week micro cycle, which will be one of maybe two or three micro cycles within a macro cycle. Each macro cycle, three of them make up one season, and there's four seasons in an Olympic quad. So that's how I really
that's
go about
how
thinking
it's broken
about
down.
It. So essentially, I'll pin this up on my wall and I'll cross off each session. I give it a tick when I've done it. And I know that each session makes up a week, micro, macro, season, Olympic quad. And that's really how I make that link between what I'm going to do in the next 2 hours,
yeah,
and what I'm going to do 2 years down the line at the Olympics.
Yeah, that's mad how much detail there is that's gone into that. Is that pretty much written by Dave, your coach?
Yeah, completely. So
when does he sort of prepare that? Because if you say, what are we? We're in November now, but you could. How far ahead do you know what you're doing? Like, I guess obviously you know the big plan, but could you tell me on like May the 14th what you're doing at like say 8:59, for example? Do you know that far ahead, or is it kind of like
I could have a good idea if I knew what day it was. I would have a roughly good idea because I know we'll be back into a solid block of work, either anaerobic, aerobic, hybrid, whatever it might be. I know roughly what we do within each of those cycles on a specific day.
Yeah,
and I'll be able to have a pretty good idea. But we get the sheets, the actual paper, you know, maybe a week before we start each micro cycle. We get the macros at the start of the macro cycles. We get the micros at the start of the micro cycles.
And does he do those out by email, or does he sort of like, what I'm imagining, the kind of thing you've explained, is almost feels like school again, because you're saying you've got those three macro cycles throughout the year. And you can kind of break them into the three different terms. And obviously, you know, that say, especially when you get into the highs at school, that you've got your mocks in like, say, for example, April, when you've kind of got those, a lot of the time you've got trials. And then obviously you've got your big exams kind of as summer rolls around. So is Dave, as you guys have finished a session, is he handing by the door saying, good session today, off you go, here's your piece of paper, go and have a read and then come back tomorrow?
Well, it's almost like, we get handed out the sheets of paper at the start of the cycles.
Yeah.
So we'll get loads of bits of paper at the start of the cycle. And then he'll normally meet with us as a group. And then he'll also have one-on-ones, you know, major one-on-ones at the start of the cycle. And that'll dictate what the training program looks like. And there is a degree of athlete input. Obviously, it's coach's decision is final. You know, as I've progressed through the squad and become more of one of the senior athletes, I've got more input when it comes to altering the cycles and knowing what works best for me and stuff like that. So yeah, that's how it works. And I really like it. And not many coaches do it. It's quite an old school way of approaching training. But I know that as hard as it is, and as in the trenches you feel sometimes, Dave's very much one of those people where in a 3 week block, you need to tick off 30 sessions because it's 10 each week, you know, in a 4 week block, it's 40 sessions. If you can tick off 40 out of 40 and finish, and he calls it signing off at the end of that block with 40 out of 40, executing each session as prescribed.
Yeah.
When you taper, you will get results. Like there's no two ways about it. There's no question marks.
That's so prescriptive.
No,
isn't it? It's like,
nothing left uncertain. And that's the way I really like to train. So it works really well for me.
It's mad how, I relating it back to some of the stuff that I've done in past and the way I think about things is, I know you've said it before, it's all about the consistency there. And that is the magic formula, is almost just getting it done. But I guess the key is you need to be making sure you're doing the work to that level. So it's not good enough just being there for the session and thinking, right, I can take a ride here. You've got to make sure you're executing. But you mentioned the fact that you like to maybe feedback, and as you become more of a senior athlete, that's something you have more of a role in. What kind of thing is it that you'd maybe like to tweak, or you have a preference towards as an athlete that differs to, I guess, what maybe the standard kind of model that you'd be set for is?
I remember it's not loads. I'm normally pretty happy. We kind of agree pretty eye to eye. We see eye to eye on a lot of these things. I remember a few years ago, it might have been last year, maybe the year before, we were prescribed an anaerobic block, and I wanted a hybrid block, which is halfway between anaerobic and aerobic, because I felt I needed elements from both. I wasn't quite ready. I think maybe it was after COVID or something. I wasn't quite ready for pure anaerobic.
Right.
I didn't quite have the aerobic block to kind of allow. The only reason you do aerobic training is to allow you to do anaerobic training. Ultimately,
it's almost like building the bottom of the pyramid.
Yeah, to allow you to do that high quality work.
Because you can't build the top of the pyramid if you've not got a base to stand on.
Without the base, mate, there you go. That's good knowledge. That's a town planner right there, everybody.
Thanks, man. You wouldn't see me like trying to construct the spires in Oxford City Centre.
No, you wouldn't. It's just not going to work, is it?
No, it's not.
Those spires would be falling down everywhere.
There'd be absolute carnage. There'd be a lot of policy would be affected there.
Landing on voids, all that stuff. Can't be having that. Shout out, boy.
Voids, people. but probably not cars because of the way the policy is going at the moment, which is
that's some exciting stuff.
Quite controversial.
Right direction.
Quite controversial, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
So I think car-free city centres are the way forward, personally.
Car-free city centres are good principle, but the problem is, what about the people who live basically in the city centre or just around it that rely on cars, i.e. for their to get their kids to school, to go to work? You can't really just turn up and go, you can't use your car anymore. You're going to have to cycle everywhere or get on a bus. And the only problem is, what happens if your bus service? Now, I'm not saying anything about Oxford's bus service, but the bus service needs to be good for that to work.
Yeah.
And also, you've got to think about the people who can't use active transport or maybe wouldn't want to use the bus. So they need to get around with cars. So they're all things that you've got to think about.
I think it's a combination of allowing only residents within that area to use their cars, so not allowing other people to come in and out of the city centre.
Yeah.
Secondly, I think you need better ring road infrastructure. That's important. And parking facilities and park and ride. And then I think public transport needs to be improved, not just in Oxford, but up and down the country. And it also needs to be seen as more of a viable option. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think young people, I know they try and do these schemes and stuff like that. I think that's something that, you know, public transport, we need to bring train fares down. They're extortionate to get here to Manchester and stuff like that. It's ridiculous. And I just worry that, especially the way we're going with the cuts that are coming and the inflation and the cost of borrowing.
It's 11%, mate. 11%.
It's ridiculous. 11%. And it's predicted to only drop to 7.4 next year. The autumn budget came out obviously yesterday. And it's like, it's such a gloomy outlook on the, and it's like the young people are going to be the ones who are really suffering,
yeah.
You know, and it's going to have knock-on effects for like the climate crisis, town centre planning, all this stuff. So,
but the tricky thing is, it's all well and good, for example, us saying, okay, you need to get in a bus or you need to cycle somewhere, but let's take, I'm not having a dig at you here or like even myself, but like in the morning, how do you get to training?
I know you're right.
But so you could cycle because you're an active young man, but firstly, when it's 7:30 in the morning, it's pitch black, you've got to carry your bag. Bear in mind that your training session or where you train is up on a hill. I've run up that hill.
Brutal.
So it's those kind of things. And how are you going to find a bus? I don't know, maybe there is a bus, but you then have to find a bus that's running. And also you don't want delays. And then if there's 20 people lining up for your bus and it's late and you miss training, then it all impacts it. So there are so many little things that you have to try and help to encourage people. And as you say, the cost is such a huge thing.
It is an interesting one. I just don't know how you encourage more people onto public transport. I think with buses and things like cycle routes are becoming better, especially around Bath. I do think train fares across the country need to come down. One thing Bath is good at is it is all car-free in the city centre.
Yeah.
Which is really good.
Is it completely car-free?
Well, there are taxis and buses allowed through certain routes, but cars can't enter that bit, which is good. A lot of voice.
Yeah. A lot of voice. I'll tell you what, voice are even more controversial because obviously you can't legally own a scooter, but you can't legally ride it on private roads.
Obviously
you can ride a Voi on private roads, but the problem is then you get an issue in terms of who's sharing the road and the pavement space, because suddenly you've got, for example, in the center of Oxford, you've got buses competing, you've got taxis competing, you'll have the odd car, but you'll have like electric vehicles if they're allowed in certain places. Now you've got Voi competing with cyclists, and then you've forgotten pedestrians. And also think if you're disabled, you need a wheelchair to get around. You need the space for a wheelchair. Yeah. So you've just named seven things competing for road space there. And then as fun as it is for us to go around on Voi, you then do think, well, they're quite quiet and people can't hear them and stuff like that.
You're absolutely right. And they do slow the flow of traffic and things like that. I do think there's a lot to think about there. It's interesting what's going on at Maidenhead right now. I know they're really trying to redesign in the city centre.
There's a lot
because they were planning things that were passed through that should never, the Nicholson Centre. You know, I think like shout out Nicholson and stuff. It's just like, how on earth that was just plonked in the middle. And then there's that high rise that's been chucked right in the centre. Shopping centre, like car park. As soon as you walk out of the Maidenhead station, this is a point my dad always makes. You walk out Maidenhead station, you know, you want to be presented with the city. Like when you walk out of Bath station, you're at the bottom of town, you have a lovely pedestrian area with lovely restaurants and shops.
Gourmet burger place.
Straight to GBK off the train.
Straight to GBK.
you know, it's brilliant. But you walk out Maidenhead Station, it's like there's a car park right in front of you, and then there's like some offices for three.
There's three,
you
know, the headquarters and they're empty now.
Which is coming down the car park. So I think they're starting to, and obviously the new developments around your place are lovely. A lot with the waterways and stuff, you know, right by Baked, Chow Baked and stuff.
I actually went in there a couple of days ago.
Really?
I didn't get myself a coffee though, because I thought I'd save a bit of money and make my own myself a coffee at home when I got back.
Good stuff.
Treated Anna to a coffee, but I then came back, used her disposable like cup from Baked and put my coffee in there, so it felt like I was having one.
Shout out to the guys, they always sort me out with a free flat white. So
decent. I'll make sure to come in with you then next time.
Yeah, a bit of name drop, mate, and then you'll be laughing.
Okay, fair play.
The Weekly Freestyle hosts. So no, it's interesting.
Maybe we do an episode from Baked.
Oh, pal, I'd really like that. Maybe we get the owner of Baked on. He's really kind of capitalized on like that area becoming a lot nicer. Obviously, you've got is it Bardo Lounge?
Yeah.
There's that one opposite Pizza Express. It always changes, but it's something decent now, I think. And there's a new pizza place.
I'll tell you though that something that did strike me about this area is when I was walking back, probably from the train station in the morning, I actually looked at one of the shop windows and your face was on it. You're actually making an appearance at an event that is kind of, I actually got an email and the header was come and see Tom Dean, get a signature from Tom Dean. And it was from the people that own basically the apartments where I live, which is all well and good, but I'll tell you what we need. We don't need a signature from Tom Dean. We need CCTV in the reception area because people are taking parcels. So when you do that event, if you could just drop the CCTV line in, that'd be much appreciated.
I'm not coming until there's CCTV. I don't know what Dodgy Dean is going to go on while I'm in there. That's actually an interesting. So yeah, I do some work with Shanley Holmes.
Yeah,
the property developer based in Maidenhead. I know the Shanleys very well. They do a lot of great work. Their daughter, I think it's Cora, she swims for Maidenhead Marlins, which is brilliant. And they have a special needs school called Beachfields, I want to say, just outside, just on the edge of Maidenhead near Subbing. So I've been there a few times.
Oh, I like that school.
It's brilliant. Cool. I've never seen somewhere so brilliant and purpose built. So it's great. Shout out Shanley Holmes. Love working with them. And yeah, I'll be at that event doing some signings. But I wanna work on. I think I'm changing my autograph.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna change it because I've been signing Dino in the past. Because that's what I'm referred to within the swimming world.
Is this our freestyle section?
I think we need to. We need a bit of a read sign. So if anyone has any suggestions, send them in. I do T Dean. It's quite hard because it's not really a letter. T and D
you can't really link them up.
You know, because my dad's is J Dean, so he just sweeps the J around into Dean, so it works quite well. I don't know what you do.
You've been done there with the T. It's your first initial, basically.
Why don't you call me John instead of Thomas?
Would have made your life a lot easier. Yeah, I don't really sign many autographs. So
what about your signature and stuff though?
Yeah, maybe when I'm accepting delivery. But these days, you can just get away with a squiggle. But I'm dropping an AJ all day. But the only thing you've got to think about, if you're dropping a T Dean, it's not very personal. If you're signing,
I'm thinking, right, I might just write Tom Dean.
I'd go Thomas.
Thomas, what? Thomas William Dean?
Yeah, I'd just go all out.
Mr. Thomas William Dean.
Because then they really feel like they're getting to know you.
Yeah.
But maybe by the time that event rolls around, then you'll have that all sorted.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet. We're actually coming to the end of season two now.
We are, which is crazy.
Which is kind of mad to think that season two started in Ivor for me when I was interviewing the wonderful Mr. George Chaplin.
Yeah, goodness me.
That seems like a while ago.
I can't believe that's flown by, hasn't it?
Yeah, that goes quick. But hopefully we're going to finish season two with a little guest episode.
That's the plan.
Which would be nice. This one, hopefully, if we do get him on, is not specifically swimming related, which doesn't matter. You know, we can deal with anything.
High achievers,
anyone, you name them, they're welcome. Hopefully we'll sort that out. And then, we'll see where we're at with season three and then get some exciting stuff your way as per.
It's good, mate. No, it's good. It's good. And it's been a pleasure doing season two. we're going to go out with a bang on it.
I'll tell you what we need for season three. We need your Wi-Fi speed ups.
Yeah, this is shocking. Shout out BT. You promised me 150 megabytes a second. I'm scoping 48 the last time I tested it.
Yeah.
So I will be honest to them.
We either need a really long Ethernet cable that comes up your stairs, or we need a couple of boosters, or I'll throw it out there. We need a new broadband provider.
BT is your last warning. The weekly freestyle can't be survived on 48 megabytes.
Write articles about his Wi-Fi.
Nothing. I won't be doing the signing unless the CCTV and I get new Wi-Fi.
Why days? Yeah, well, I look forward to that being sorted out. I'll come round and sort it out for you, mate.
Yeah.
Or the other option is you do the podcast from your front door. Bear in mind, your front door's downstairs.
Mm.
So if anyone was to walk past, they'd just see you basically sat on the bottom of your stairs doing
a microphone.
But for people listening, it would be crisp.
Got to do what you do. Absolutely. And it's all about the listeners. Thank you very much for this episode. That was quite interesting, actually. We went off on a bit of a tangent.
Yeah, but we did.
I think that means we're calling for a planning episode in the near future.
You think?
To get into the real nitty-gritty world.
Planning links to anything, because I know I've discussed it before, but think about, say, the Commonwealth Games or the Olympics, or they all have planning implications. And it is a world that does combine even some of the stuff I do in Oxford, like looking at the sports grounds where Oxford United play in the Kazam. There's a lot about how certain stadiums feed into local community and how you can get people involved and that kind of stuff. So there's scope for it.
It's exciting stuff, mate. Planning's life. Live and breathe it. And I'm actually so interested in, like, I love infrastructure videos. I subscribe to so many like infrastructure video. This sounds so tragic. So many infrastructure YouTube channels. They're my favorite like type of YouTube.
Which is your favorite?
The B1M. So he did a massive thing on Crossrail. He does a lot about skyscrapers. HS2. He did big episodes on. You know, really. I did a really great one on Battersea Power Station recently. You know,
that was planning, a good place.
Planning infrastructure, all this stuff. Like I absolutely love. There's so many channels on YouTube that
I love infrastructure when it goes well. For example, heading out of London yesterday evening, Mum and I were on a 17-minute train home to Maidenhead.
It took us longer
to get from where were we? Around Piccadilly Circus, Oxford Circus way to Paddington than it did from Paddington to Maidenhead.
Was that an Elizabeth line or was it
no, Mum got the Elizabeth line that took us straight into Liverpool Street, I think it is.
It's great. They can go all the way to Liverpool Street.
I could be sat on a train at Reading and it would be going to Canary Wharf.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane. I tell you what I love is the stations as well. You step out and it looks like you're in an artist's impression of like a futuristic tube station. You know, a much more spacious and airy. So I think
there's something here for us to do. We take the pod out and look at infrastructure products.
I think I'd be all for that swimming X infrastructure. There's something there, isn't there? There's something in there.
I'm thinking of a TV series on Channel 5.
I was hosting infrastructure. Like, looking at the infrastructure of pools and stuff.
If you go to the Middle East and talk about the infrastructure of pools, I'd be bang up for that.
Oh, infrastructure of Qatar World Cup, controversial. Maybe we save that for a future episode.
Yeah, and we are going to come back to our World Cup team. Keep getting those suggestions in. We've had some nice ones. We're building. So keep an eye out. And for those people in the swimming world, keep working on your football skills because there are spaces up for grabs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Well, thanks for that one.
Awesome stuff. Thank you very much for that, mate.
And we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we'll see you guys soon. Thank you.